For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's time for the Wrestling Perspective podcast on Fightful. That guy right there, Lars Fredrickson. I'm Dennis Farrell. We are against the clock today, so we're going to jump right into it. We got a Medusa coming up here in a few minutes, so we don't want to keep her waiting. But we have a lot of fan questions and comments and a couple hot takes, Lars. Are you ready to knock this out?
I'm ready to go. I mean, I'm really excited to have Medusa coming on the show here very, very shortly. But I'm also very excited about this new thing that we've been doing about getting the questions from the people who watch the or listen to the Wrestling Perspective podcast via video or on their favorite place to get podcasts.
You've never sounded more old ever in your life than that. You're like that thing you pull out your jitterbug. Get it on your jitterbug.
Hey, you know what? You get it on the phony thing.
So wrestlingperspective@gmail.com, make sure you take down that email address. That's where you send your submissions. George P. in Michigan wants to know, what is our favorite wrestling memory?
Holy Lord. I mean, there's been so many for me. Can you think of one right off the top of your head?
I can. I want to say it was like 88. Center stage, Atlanta, Georgia. I went to see WCW with my Boy Scout troop, and I got to meet Sting and Lex Luger. They both shook my hand. I will always remember that memory until the day I die.
Well, you know, I was actually at center stage one time when WrestleMania was in Georgia and ROH was doing a show. It's funny that you mentioned that because it just triggered this whole memory about meeting Jim Cornette for the first time. And it was really cool because he was super nice and super gracious with me. And it turns out that, you know, his wife, Stacy, actually was from my hometown. And we sort of kind of knew a lot of the same people. So it was like even that much more special. But I will say that probably one of my favorite all-time wrestling memories is when I went and saw at the Cow Palace. They were doing WWE, I should say, was doing a house show there. And my dear friend CM Punk started a riot. Never heard of him. He started a riot in that place. It was fucking nuts. It was the Straight Edge Society. I think it was him against Jericho was what the match was supposed to be. And Jericho was super scared and didn't want to walk out there because obviously Punk, you know, but actually my friend Kevin Gill, who we've had on the show and it was a commentator for Game Changer Wrestling at one point, he actually filmed it and you can actually see it on YouTube.
Nice. Go look it up when you're done watching this, by the way.
Of course.
Robert from Fort Hood wants to know, how would you both start a promotion and how would you take it from indies to TV one way?
Well, you know, it is a little known fact that I have been a wrestling promoter and a booker at one point in my career. But getting it, I don't know. That would be hard. You would obviously want to start locally. That's kind of what I would think. And I mean, right now, though, you can kind of get with the interwebs and everything like that. You can kind of get your promotion seen by many, many different eyes now in today's world. So answering that question, you know, I guess it would just be making that decision of promoting, really.
Yeah, I think being on TV and maybe even, I can't speak for any wrestlers, but being signed to major companies right now might be slightly overrated because you can make probably just as much, if not more money on the indies right now. So I'd go, maybe I'd be happy with a higher brow streaming service. So Thank you, Robert. Don from Brantford, Canada wants to know, if you could both write one song for a wrestler, who would that be? Well, I'm not writing a song, but if Lars, I'm going to say, if I could pick a wrestler for Lars to write a song, Oh, this is a good one. You know what? Give me Brody King.
Ooh, that'd be good. You know what? Because not only I could probably write this song, but he could be a great singer. I mean, he is a great singer with God's Hate. So, yeah, I mean, that could be a match made in heaven or hell, however you want to look at it.
Right.
I think, you know, as far as if I were to take one guy that I would want to do something with, I don't think it would be like one guy. I would want to write a song for a faction. Does that make sense? Like, oh, if yeah. I feel like the opportunity is still there, but I think that me and Diener could write a banger for Violent by Design.
All right, Diener, you hear it. You're on the clock. Nora Sparks says, another podcast that shows no love for Impact Wrestling. Bobby Fish had a match with Josh Alexander, and of course you guys don't even talk about it. You want to take this one?
Well, kind of, because we just had Bobby Fish on here like literally last week. And we talk about Impact a lot. As a matter of fact, if this question was going to come, I have made myself a little list about the Impact wrestlers that we have had on this show. Jessica Havoc, Bully Ray, Brian Myers, Trey Miguel, Scott D'Amore, Jordan Grace, Matt, Rich Swann, and the Good Brothers when they were there. That's just who I could remember. Petey Williams was a co-host, you know, so not too sure where that question is coming from. I don't know if he's talking about recently or if maybe we don't cover Impact enough. I'm not crazy too sure, but I feel like if we were to count all of the podcasts or all of the interviews that we have done since I've been part of this podcast, I would say the Impact wrestlers or people who wrestled currently at that time when we did the interview have been Impact wrestlers.
And by the way, we are the podcast that got Killer Cross and Eli Drake fired, by the way, before you came along, but we're not done getting people fired. So you never know who's next.
You never know who we can get fired.
No. Fernando Zayas says, awesome stream, guys. It's my first time viewing. Thank you for landing on Fightful. Found the stream insightful. Very entertaining. Great interview talking about the Bobby Fish. Thank you, Fernando. Trouble NYC says, Lars is the man, a wrestling fan too. Love it. There you go. Aaron out of Houston says, how would you end Sami Zayn bloodline story if you could end it?
Why don't you answer that one first? Because I think that I'm kind of curious to see how you would go about it.
I was just talking actually to Petey Williams about this, and I pitched stupid ideas to him because everybody wants to be heard. And sure. I had said to him, if I'm booking Roman, because Petey goes, if you know, who would you book Roman for at WrestleMania? I said, I'd actually start now and book him versus Braun Breaker, right? And it would be Roman wants all the championships and he's going for Braun. Braun calls in the Steiner brothers, who is, you know, his father and uncle. And then you kind of have a bloodline versus bloodline kind of fight. In the process, Sami Zayn flips on the bloodline and costs Roman the championship at WrestleMania. And there you build up a major star without really hurting Roman Reigns.
Well, see, here's another thing. It's like you can almost, there's so many ways that you could go about ending this, but I wouldn't end it anytime soon. As a matter of fact, I would keep it going and I would have something pivotal happen at the WrestleMania. And I would think it would be like a gracious gesture of Roman Reigns maybe interfering on the level of in a Sami Zayn match, right? I don't know how that would look or how that would work, or maybe Roman Reigns, whoever Sami Zayn has it, that, you know, he somehow gets himself involved to kind of show that he's got loyalty to Sami, right? Because, you know, we're still seeing that he's still a little distrustful. Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay. So you play it on down the line. You could do it a few different ways. You can have the whole bloodline turn on what's his nuts? God damn it. Why? Roman Reigns. Thank you. You're going to have the whole entire bloodline turn on Roman Reigns, and then Sami Zayn becomes the head of the table. You can do it like that, right? Or you know, there's so many ways. I'd prefer to see some kind of weird, maybe there's a four-way match for the title or something like that, and Sami Zayn is the hand-chosen one, and somehow things can happen, and Roman Reigns gets knocked out, and somehow Sami Zayn falls on top of him, and the ref counts 1, 2, 3, and now all of a sudden Sami Zayn's the world heavyweight champion. You know, there's so many things that you can do. Wrestling history will show us that they've done pretty much everything you possibly can do, you know, so... But I think to carry on this storyline for as long as they possibly can would be the right move.
All right. Lightning round, because we want to get to as many of these as we possibly can. Jerry from Morrow, Georgia wants to know, who is the most current underrated champion, tag team, or any other belts right now, in your opinion? I'd say Josh Alexander. I don't think he gets the respect he deserves. So that would be my answer right there.
Yeah, I would definitely give Josh Alexander that credit as well.
All right. Chuck D, not that one, wants to know, is there one interview that you both have done that changed your opinion on that wrestler or made you a fan or not like that person afterwards? Why you think? I'm going to say Rocky Romero for mine. He's been on a couple times. Every time this guy's come on, he's been insightful and fun. And I could keep interviewing him because he's so humble, has so much to say, and he's done so much in wrestling that nobody's even talks about.
Yeah, I definitely don't think I've ever had an experience where I've disliked somebody or liked them less as a result of talking to them. I actually feel like in all cases, I've liked them more because the fact that we've been able to get personable with so many different kinds of personalities in the professional wrestling business, it's been an honor and a privilege, honestly, to be able to talk to a lot of these people. Sure, there's some duds, but one guy that I really felt that much more in love with after we interviewed him was Willie Mack.
Oh, that's a great one. Mohammed says, I'm pulling for Vince McMahon to return to TV as a heel. I really think bringing him back to TV right now would give WWE that heel that could go up against MJF. You know what? I kind of disagree. I want him far away from the product as possible. Let this new generation fiddle with it. Let's see what they can do. It's, you know what, you can never go home again. Vince McMahon was one of the greatest heels of the Attitude Era. Anytime he popped back on TV, even with Austin Theory, it just never felt right to me. And I think you'd get more of that, at least in my opinion.
I 100% agree with you as well. And I understand what the person, you know, I understand what they're trying to convey. Vince McMahon in the Attitude Era was a great heel. I mean, it was perfect. It was a match made in heaven, right? Today's standards, I'm with you on this. I see what they're trying to do down at the WWE, the way that they're turning around these things, making the episodes and the programming watchable, mentioning things like, you know, pro wrestling again on their TV. It's done nothing but made me more of a fan, honestly.
Vicky from Florida says, do you have any wrestling tattoos? If not, what would you get?
I have a few wrestling tattoos. I have a Masaba tattoo. I have a Jushin Thunder Liger tattoo. I have a Jun Kasai tattoo. I have a Tiger Mask tattoo. And I think that's about it.
I do not. I can't think of anything cool that I'd want to get tattooed. There's no faction tattoo that maybe the Four Horsemen. I might could go with that because that's a pretty cool classic logo, but I don't, the NWO is a cool logo, but I wouldn't get it tattooed on me.
Yeah. You know, there is a few that I probably would get on me, but definitely maybe a Four Horsemen tattoo. That would be kind of sick, honestly.
But you don't have room for it, do you?
I probably somewhere. I'd much rather get I'd probably more apt to get a Fabulous Freebirds tattoo than a Four Horsemen.
Badger USA. God damn, I love them. And last one that came in, you don't know about this. This comes from Ray. If you could bring back one of your favorite wrestling merch that you owned when you were younger or a kid, what would it be? Why you think, I'm going to tell you, back in the, gosh, way early 90s, late 80s, I owned the, like, they were styrofoam Road Warrior shoulder pads. They were very small. You may know, yes. And they, you know, the old styrofoam belts that you could get that were like, they look like a women's championship size belt. I'd bring both those back that I used to own. Maybe the plastic WCW figures I owned. I loved all those guys. But that, the Road Warriors shoulder pads were walking around my house acting like I'm Hawk or Animal. That's what I'd bring back if I could own.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the toys, because that was the stuff that I think I was mostly gravitated to, and even the t-shirts to a certain degree, a lot of them have been, you know, either you can find now on, you know, through traders or whatever, but they obviously, you know, quadrupled in cost, if not more. But a lot of the toys, I mean, you know, they're redoing kind of like the Hasbro style wrestling figures. I mean, there's so many things now that I don't think they were capable of doing at the time that we have now. Sorry, that was my nicotine pill. But anyways, I've been off smoking 4 years and I'm still on nicotine pills. But my point is that I would go back to those early Jim Crockett t-shirts, and I would repress a run of those, and I would do them like a limited edition style so you could pre-order them.
That's a good one. You beat me on that one. Listen, we had fun. Make sure you get your questions in wrestlingperspective@gmail.com. Save it in your phone. Get it tattooed on your arm. Do whatever you need to do. We love hearing from you. We want your hot takes. We want your fan questions. We want your opinions. We're having fun. We were just talking about this today, how much fun these questions are.
Yeah. I mean, this is now becoming one of my favorite things to do on our podcast. I mean, I obviously love talking to our guests, but it's kind of great to hear about what other people are thinking about their ideas and, you know, just their questions. I'm interested just on their takes as well. So please keep emailing us those questions, those remarks, anything you want to say, even if you want to say, blow me, you know, send us an email.
But send it to Lars, not me. I get enough of those. I will say one thing. We did get one email. It didn't make it to air, but I guess it's going to now. I don't remember who it was from. And they asked if we would bring back a classic segment that Petey and I did. And I think it'd be hard, but it's fun to talk about. So back before you came along, Petey and I did a segment with his now ex-wife. Maybe that's why it's his ex. Sorry, Pete. It was called Wrestler or Porn Star, and we would bring her on the air and we would ask her a porn star name or a wrestler name, and she had to figure out whether it was a wrestler or a porn star.
Oh.
So
yeah.
I would need to find someone to date me to be able to bring her on to do that if we were gonna do it. And I don't know if you're
I'm not, you know, I don't really need to, you know. I don't know. I don't know many porn stars, nor do
I'll do all the research for you. I mean, I don't know them, but I mean, I could help you out and do the research. There's,
yeah. I mean, I don't want to dirty up this family friendly podcast.
Oh, look at that. Leave it to Beaver over there. All right.
Yeah.
Listen, are you ready to get to our interview?
Yeah, I'm ready for Medusa.
All right, guys. Enjoy Medusa. As talked about earlier in the episode, we have Medusa. And Lars, I know you know a little bit about her, but I'm going to, for the people at home, I'm going to read off a few of her credentials. She's only PWI's first female rookie of the year in 1988. She was part of one of my favorite alliances ever, the Dangerous Alliance. She's a 2015 WWE Hall of Famer. And by the way, congratulations on the Women's Wrestling Hall of Fame that you were just inducted in 2023. Time traveling there. She's a two-time Monster Cup champ, WCW Cruiserweight champion, three-time women's champion, and she has a book coming out, Lars. And I know how much you love to read.
She actually held the New Japan women's title for one day as well.
Yeah, I think it was at least 24 hours. At least yeah. That's what they could have done. And they did. At least they did that. WCW didn't even give me the women's title. So.
No. And it's bad funny. Well, all the things that you did for that company.
Right. You know? I mean, who were the bookers for that? What the hell?
Who remembers?
But Woman Who Would Be King, pre-sale now on Amazon. You can go to ecwpress.com to order it. It comes out this fall. Thank you, Medusa, the baddest bitch ever, for hanging out with us for at least 6 hours.
Oh, hey. Well, it's so funny. I was rushing in, and because the hubby and I are like running all around, I surprised him with 2 round trip tickets to Minnesota, and we're going
on
to
purpose?
The Vikings game.
Oh,
we're going to the Vikings game on Christmas, so that's his Christmas. So I got 2 tickets in a suite. Oh my God, this is gonna be
that's
so good.
Awesome. That'll
yeah,
be
so we're like
Medusa pool to get Christmas suite tickets.
Whatever. I'm from Minnesota, so hey.
Well, that's where you said that the first time I ever saw you was AWA programming based out of Minnesota, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, I was really green. I was doing independence. A guy named Kai Michelson, actually, my girlfriend was dating him. He was a Hollywood stunt coordinator, and he told me I belong in the entertainment business. And I thought, what a piece of shit he's hitting on me with when he's with my girlfriend here, right? And so, no, I thought, okay, wait a minute. I'm a big jock. I'm a gymnast. I'm a track and field star, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I could be a Hollywood stunt woman. Hell yeah. And so he's like, no, I was thinking more like pro wrestling. And I just like vomited in my mouth. I'm like, what? Why would you say that? Ew. And so anyway, he kept bugging me. And then that's how that came to fruition. And I was putting myself through nursing at the time. So I was mending bones, and I went to break bones, actually. And I quit my nursing right before graduation and went into wrestling. What the hell? And then, and then that's how that started. And then I got a call from Wahoo McDaniel. Oh, God, great story. I got a great story in my book about Wahoo, by the way. Great guy. And he's the one that got me in for a meeting with him and Vern. And that's how I started AWA. That's how I met Paul Heyman, and, you know, I was managing Kurt Hennig and Nick Kaninsky, Calvin Kelly. I mean, great, great bunch of talent out of AWA. I mean, guys, it's incredible. In fact, I think had some of the greatest talent. I mean, it's like, it was the water. It was the water we drank. Actually, we were half frozen half the year anyway. So, but anyway, that's where it all started, man. Yep.
How long did it take you to actually fall in love with wrestling or even the industry itself?
Well, I mean, I was really good to wrestling. Wrestling wasn't good to me at all. And I mean, I hit the pinnacle of my career a couple times in that business, and I was very lucky, and I'm grateful for everything. But I mean, I had to pound pavement just like all the women before me, even harder. And I had to continue, and I wanted to change the trajectory of women's wrestling, the way they were perceived and not taken seriously. And I mean, I worked so many years just to get my name on the damn marquee. Like whenever you saw, you know, the lineup for the night, you would see everybody's matches, right? The beginning, the mid card, semi, and main event. We were on the bottom. The women were called and more. So I really, really had to work hard to even get women listed. And then finally it happened. I was so excited. I was wrestling Sherry Martel at the Cow Palace in San Francisco. And it was a great match. And we wrestled for like 8 or 10 minutes. I got paid $800. Dude, that was like in the 80s. That was big money back then.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of money. And it's funny because we're talking about you, and you're kind of one of those, you are one of the pioneers of women's professional wrestling as we know it. And here we are, and I don't know how current you are with wrestling, but the whole situation with Mandy Rose, the WWE talent, being let go for her side hustle. Mm-hmm. And it's like, so, you know, as a woman in this business, what kind of advice would you kind of give to her? You know, would you be, because she basically said, well, later, and I make more money over here, I'm going to go do this instead. So what kind of advice would you give this, you know, young lady now, today's day?
I mean, I have that question is brought up a lot. And what I can say and what I would do, and everyone has their own reasoning. Everyone has their own decisions. And we are a product of our actions. Let's put it that way. Even with times changing. If Mandy chose to be a pro wrestler and sign with WWE and get a second chance by going to NXT and reinventing herself, and she just ignited, like she really came into her own, like Mandy was like really happening, right? She was doing so good. And it was so beautiful to see. Now, her and I, we get along great. And I feel that if you're under contract and you know what the rules are, let's say, and if you want to try to push the envelope, you know what the ramifications are. So I'm not saying what she chose to do was wrong for Mandy, but it was perhaps maybe wrong for the contract. So if you know you're going into the contract and you're signing with a company that has these rules and regulations of what you can do and what you can't do, then you should know the rules, right? On the other hand, with her having her own, whatever it is, her own fan page, right? I think it's great to have side hustles. However, if you're under a contract that owns your likeness, even though you're using a different name, your likeness, and you're being presented in that way where it has effects on what you're doing, a company has every right to, you know, have a standoff meeting and probably communicate with you once or twice and then do what they need to do. I think that, is it a double standard? I mean, is there other things happening? Well, yeah. And it sucks. It's bullshit, right? So we see a lot of men, I'm not picking on you men here, but I'm just saying men in general in this business, and it still happens today, can get hung out by their ball sack and just, you know, and still get a second chance, right? If she got a warning and she still continued to do it and then she got fired, then shame on her, right? If you're under contract, absolutely. Business is business, guys. You know what you're getting into, period. So, and unless she wanted to F it up and, you know, and take her hiatus and go somewhere else, then, you know, that was her choice. We don't know that. I don't know that. You don't know that. But I know that because I'm sure she had a lawyer, that my lawyer and I would sit down, look at this contract. Okay, I cannot have, you know, I cannot be on Twitch. I cannot have my own fans only page. I'm dedicated to just this. And I would say, okay, I'm willing to accept that and sign this contract for X amount of years. And then when this comes due to renew, I'll reevaluate it to see if this is what I want to do and then maybe pursue other things. That's just how I do business, really. A lot of people, you know, I put that out there on social media, and then you have a lot of people that really don't do their due diligence and understand history anyway. And they're so like, you're such a bitch. You threw the title in the trash. And I'm like, guys, I wasn't employed, you know, I wasn't under contract, you know, I just, you know, whatever. So I think that still needs to be changes if it was a double standard, if there was no warning for her. Guys do get warnings in this business and they're still employed there, which is unfortunate.
Well, I wanted to elaborate because there's going to be no argument that there's a double standard, you know, for women in the workplace. There always has been. Anybody who has a mom who works or did work knows this to be true. So if it's either ignorance or even more ignorance that would not see that. I guess what I'm asking is, though, is a lot of people, the counter argument is, well, 20 years ago, you know, there was wrestlers in Playboy and Playgirl. And it's like, can you argue the double standard from from 20 years ago? I mean, is that still relevant? I mean, the WWE was in a different place at that time where they had contracts with these other, you know, sort of adult companies, right? Mm-hmm. So, And I totally do agree with you. Like, men do get more second chances than women do. I mean, I would never argue with. I guess my point is that what advice would you give her at this point in her career as maybe a wrestler or whatever she wants to do? Are you kind of rooting for her in the sense of, like, you know, be your best self kind of thing, you know, do what makes you the most money, or, you know, honor your contract?
Two things. I've had to have a lot of come to Jesus talks with myself saying, what is more important? Is it my integrity, or is it the money, or is it this, or is it that? And sometimes other things weigh out others, but the choice that you really want is this, you know, the almighty dollar. But in the long run, your integrity can never be bought. You know what I'm saying? So, of course, I'm always a cheerleader for people that want to do things and go off and do their thing and be better and whatever they think. However, I'm a business person. And so if, again, I'm rooting for her. Of course you want her to do well. But I don't understand where the disconnect is. If, you know, she didn't understand the contract, she should have asked, right? Or I feel that maybe she should have got a warning first. Maybe she did. Maybe this was her second or third. Who knows, right? I don't know. So I can't sit here and say too much.
Right.
All I can say is, if it was me, if this was me, I really do. I wish her the best, because she is a talented and, of course, a beautiful woman. And you want the best for people. You do.
This isn't my question, but this is a follow-up to it. Would the Medusa from 1995 give the same answer you just gave today with the wisdom and the history you have? Because I don't know much about you, but I perceive you back then as, you know what, fuck everybody, I'm doing it my way, kiss my ass, kind of how you were then. That's just my perception of how you came off back then. Do you have that same advice if you were asked this back then?
I mean, that's a good question, Dennis. I mean, that is my attitude still to this day. However, during that time, that 95 time when that.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had an extra hour in your day, what is the first thing that you would do? Read a book, take a nap, play some video games, do something for a friend, volunteer. A lot of us spend our lives wishing that we had more time, but the question is, time for what? And if it was unlimited, how would you go about using it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important for you and to make it a priority. And therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Therapy is so valuable. It's gotten me through some tough times, really helped me reflect on things that are important, specifically with BetterHelp. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be the convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. This is so beneficial when you've got that crammed schedule and you can't even imagine finding that extra hour. You can do it all from home. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Fightful today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Fightful. It's so flexible and it can help you find that social sweet spot with BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp.com/Fightful.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Whole title in the trash happened. I wasn't under contract. I was an independent before I even signed. So there's a lot that goes with that, and it's in my book.
Okay.
It's amazing. It's a great story. By the way, in my book, I don't throw anyone under the bus, but I do change a few names.
You got to protect the innocent.
Yeah. Well, not that some of these people don't need to be brought to the forefront, because this business was very Harvey Weinsteinish. Let's put it that way. I have watched these people get what they deserved in other ways. So I think that people that want to throw people under the bus in a book for 5 seconds of pleasure, 30 years later, is very harmful when they have kids and families that are innocent to the situation. Now, I say a Harvey Weinsteinish, that bastard probably got what he had coming, right? So, and there was a lot of guys like that in this business, trust me, guys that you know. So, and it's just a matter of time, you know what I mean? I will take probably a lot of it to my grave, because it's just no one's business at this point. I explain a lot in my book in somehow, some form. You guys, a lot of people will, they'll understand.
Well, I go ahead, Dennis, please.
I was going to ask, did you see the change in how men treated women evolve while you were in the industry, or did it happen while you were out of the industry? And because, I have a daughter, we respect women on this show.
I've got one on the way.
Yeah. Oh, congratulations, guys. Yes.
Thank you.
So, when it comes to treating women right, I like to think we do whatever we can to not be the creepy guys that are on the internet. No.
Wait
promises.
A minute. Any two guys that sit on a Zoom call are creepy anyway. No,
hey,
I was just kidding.
Hey.
Wait till
hey.
You see
Especially
next Zoom
from
call.
San Francisco. Hey. What the hell?
Whoa.
Just kidding. But, okay, go ahead. Yes.
But did that change while you were in the industry, where you saw less of the, and I don't want to be crass, but I mean, we're all dancing around it, but it's, do you want on the card, sleep with me kind of attitude. Did that attitude slowly die away as either you moved up the ladder or times changed?
I guess they found. Let's see, with times, communications change and words change. And I think they found more eloquent ways to communicate it. So it wasn't so obvious. So back in the day, it used to be all cast and couch bullshit, right? The old words and whatnot. I think people are very, very careful nowadays. It's always going to happen. It's just always going to happen. It's always going to be there somewhere, somehow, no matter how many AIs you have sitting around or phones or whatnot. It's just crap's going to happen. Did I see a big change? Of course, I saw an evolution of or progressing to get better. Absolutely. And it's a lot better now than it was. I will say, yes. When you have guys shitting in a woman's food and watching her eat it is very, it's just.
Someone should go to jail for that shit.
Well, that's disgusting.
It is disgusting. And let me tell you, this is what I'm saying. These men that did stuff like this are people's idols today. And it's kind of like when I say Harvey Weinsteinish, people would be shocked because of everything that Harvey did for everybody and all the stars he hung around with and all the big names. It'd be like shocking like that in wrestling.
Well,
it
I
would
think
really
I have a,
disappoint a lot of you.
I think I have a pretty good idea about the types that you're talking about. I can kind of picture a few. I do want to, kind of elevate this interview in a sense, because I feel like we're in this mire of negativity. And
it's not negative. No, I don't mean to interrupt, Lars. No. It's not negative. It happened. It was a past. And it evolved. It has gotten better. Like I said, And
maybe negative was the a poor choice of words. What I meant was dark. That's all.
Oh yeah, it was dark. It was. Yeah, it was unfortunate. But you know what? You through those hard times and dark times, you chose what to do, who to communicate with, and basically move forward. You learn to keep your own space and move forward. And I mean, there's a lot of good things that happen, you know, and there's a lot of good people in this business. It just wasn't that, but it was a circus actually. So
did you have to find people though? Because I mean, I can only imagine what it was like to be a woman of your caliber wrestling skill. I mean, cause you were a great wrestler. Let's be honest. If anybody goes back and watches your matches, and you're speaking of that one with Sherry Martel, I mean, we're talking about two very great professional wrestlers who know their craft, know how to tell a story, bring the psychology to it. And you know, I think about, well, where were you able to go to find advice or seek a little shelter? And in whom were you able to confide? Were there any, you know, male or females in that career on your trajectory upwards? That maybe you found someone, is there somebody that was a pivotal point for you?
That's a great question, because I really didn't, you know, the people or the women before me that I could confide into would have been your Moolahs and Joan Byers and stuff like that, but they weren't around. So I call that the golden era. And then after the golden era was basically the lost era, which was mine. Right. It was that quick little 4-year, didn't know what to do. And then the attitude era happened. Right. And then the divas, and then da 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 da. So I think as far as me looking up to, there's two people that I did probably look up to a lot, and that was Ray the Crippler Stevens and Wahoo and AWA. They were complete gentlemen, and I hung around with them, went fishing. I was like the little kid, right? And Paul Heyman, I owe a lot to Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman really, he did so much for my career. He gave me opportunity. He pushed me out there and kept me in front of the camera and the microphone when I had no business, you know, so green. But it was that trial and error and constant get out there, and throwing himself in the mix and having matches with him. And I mean, we're best friends. We're just, you know, best friends to this day. And there's people like that. Absolutely. As far as women, I would say Leilani Kai is so brilliant in this business. Her mind and her psychology is impeccable. Another person that is very good in this business, her mind and psychology, it would blow you away, is Missy Hyatt. If you ever got a chance to speak to Missy Hyatt, her freaking brain, like, I mean, she goes all the way back from back territories, right? And she has some, I mean, we all have had our adversities in life, right? And we overcome them and, you know, become a better person. But there's one thing about her business sense was just, it was great working with her too, because she would be on cue. She knew her spot. She was da 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 da. And Sherry Martel, she wasn't really like a wrestler, technical wrestler. She was more of a brawler, but when it comes to psychology and timing, that woman had everything, absolutely everything. But I would confide and probably talk to Leilani the most. I mean, that was my era, right? And yeah, I mean, there wasn't. And then fast forward, you know, being thrown back into the mix now, working with WWE under their Legends contract and, you know, intermittently showing up on NXT, working with the girls, go back into the, you know, Evolution pay-per-view. I never thought it would happen. You know, when the business was changing, and it was like around 99, I knew the business was changing when I was thrown in to do these damn evening gown matches and tell me to pants out in a bikini and have to wrestle and have barbecue sauce poured down my chest. And, you know, I was so freaking pissed, and I worked so hard for, you know, to make women's wrestling legit, and just, oh, it was frustrating. But that wasn't me. You know, power to the women and their choices, because that was the attitude era happening and it was strong and whatever. And, that was then. That's what you had to do. And that's, if you wanted to do it, you did it. I already pounded pavement for, you know, whatever, 18 years prior, whatever. And I just said, I'm done. And plus I got wind that Vince might be buying WCW. So I just said, I'm peace out. This is it. End of my contract. You know, I'm done. And then I got that wonderful call from Mike Weber. He's the COO of Fight TV. And he just said, hey, Deuce, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm out of here because it's a tits and ass show. And I've fallen right into it, bubbling my tits all over the show. So I said, I'm so out. I'm so disgusted. And so that's when he asked me if I wanted to drive monster trucks. So it's like all of a sudden I transitioned from wrestling into monster trucks. And I was like, I'm a gearhead, man. I ride Harleys. I've just, you know, and so I'm like, yeah, okay. Yeah, I'll try it. 20 years later. What the hell?
There you are.
I know. It's so fun.
But you've mentioned though, now you're kind of popping up on AEW.
But Dennis, I've seen her drive a monster truck.
You did?
Oh yeah.
Were we in San Francisco?
You were in Oakland at the Coliseum over there.
Oh, I loved Oakland too. Oh my God.
Yes. So I've seen you do it. So I digress. Sorry.
Kind of what I was saying was you had said you were popping up on AEW, which I loved. You've been doing some WWE stuff. Now, do you feel like, and I don't want to use the word gatekeeper, but now do you feel like you're one of those mentors where you didn't have one, you've learned how to be the mentor for this generation of women's wrestling? And can you talk a little bit about how that door reopened for you, and were you reluctant to step through it?
Oh my gosh. Reluctant. I was scared because when I was sitting in a driver's meeting, getting ready for a race, and my phone was going off to text, you know, and the first message was like, hey, this is WWE, please call. And I went, what the hell? And I'm in a driver's meeting and I'm looking at it. I'm like, oh damn, a fan got my number. Shit. Oh, dang it. I'm like, why is WWE calling me after 25 years? You know, there's no way. And then I get another call and it's like, please call the office. I'm like, okay, I'm really pissed. Who is my number out there? And then again, a third one was, this is Carano from Talent Relations. I'm like, well, damn, they must need my new address for tax reasons or something, right? So anyway, when I got my dressing room to get ready for my race, I was like butt ass naked and I was pulling up my fire suit around my ankles and I'm sitting here to get dressed and I put it on speaker and I'm talking to him and he goes, you know, we were just wondering if you would be interested in, you know, have the honor and just, would you like to be in the Hall of Fame? I'm like, what? I said, and the first thing I said is, does Vince know? know? And so that, going back to your question, Dennis, and the long story, cause you know, I'm just that way. I was like, I was very scared. I didn't know how the kids were going to accept me. I didn't know how it was because once I left wrestling, I never watched it for 20. I mean, I never turned on. I was so pissed. I was jaded. I was just like, you know, screw you. Blah, blah, blah. I was good to you. You weren't good to me. And I just let it be. I mean, I tried not to be, you know, bitter or anything. So I just let it go so I wouldn't be bitter. And I went carried on in my life. But when I got that call and I went in there and I didn't know what to expect, oh my God, everybody was so amazing. They were the kids, they were just all asking questions and they were just so in awe. And I was like, well, this is different. Very different. They were so polite, well-mannered. I mean, I'm like, damn, this is a class act. Now it was like, no pun intended, when I went back in 2015, it was like WWE on steroids, meaning the production, everything was like 10 times as big. It was the same, but it was like 10, 20 times as big. You know what I mean? It was just huge, like everything about it. From the damn cafeteria that they would have, the spread that they would have, the food, it was amazing. And from the, you know, from the production crew and just the talent and the sewing and the makeup, the 20 makeup artists for these girls. I'm like, what? I didn't even have one. What the heck? And so it's a lot change, and you're just trying to soak this all up. And then you have kids coming up and asking questions. And I just thought it was pretty amazing. And then when they asked me to come back intermittently, you know, I've gained some great relations with these girls, the younger ones. And so I'll get a DM sometimes, you know, Miss, they call me Miss Blaze, Miss Blaze. And I'm like, okay, if you have a minute, this is my thought, you know, something like that. So it's kind of, it makes you feel good. It does, because I never really got that, you know, or had that opportunity. So, yeah, fast forward 20 something years. Yeah. It feels good.
My question's probably a simple yes or no answer, but I'm a Maybe. Virgo. Maybe. See, now you're fucking with me.
Yeah. Oh, you're too All easy.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I know. So I guess, you know, the one thing is like, okay, and I don't want to harp on it too much, but you dropped the belt in the trash can.
Oh, here it is.
At commercial break, did you grab it back out?
Commercial break? No, they actually, it's in my book. But anyway, I will tell you this. I, you know, right when I got to my room, right after that, I walked right to my dress room, and just like 15 seconds later, it was knocking on my door and I got the belt directly back. Yeah. They were that good.
Okay. That's all I wanted to know. Next question.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so far so good. I mean, you know, I mean, Eric and I go back and forth about who called who, you know, I say he called me, he says I called him, but I tell him, I said, dude, who gives a shit? It was the biggest part of your career.
I mean, honestly, that was a shot. And, you know, it's made such a big impact, and for you to be part of that sort of pivotal point in wrestling history. I mean, that was a big effing deal. Like if it was an end of an era to a certain extent. I don't really want to dwell on it, because I know this subject has been talked about over and over and over, and I know that there's so many other questions me and Dennis want to ask.
Dennis.
I gotta give it to Dennis.
Dennis, drum roll, please.
You know what? You have this phenomenal legacy, and it seems like finally the wrestling community, the wrestling fans, are really giving you the props you deserve. And I'm probably guilty of this, but it felt like when you were gone, it was out of sight, out of mind. And then we put these other women that had mediocre talent, I'll even say it, up on these pedestals of being amazing women's wrestlers who, you know, built a, you know, overcame the bra and panties era to build this new evolution, and you kept being left out. Now you are kind of back in, as you said, you've welcomed wrestling back into your heart. Wrestling has kind of welcomed you back. Do you look back on your legacy as, you know what, God damn it, I deserve more props than I'm getting? And you don't seem like that kind, but I think you deserve more props than you're getting.
Well, thank you. I mean, yeah, I don't sit here and go, I'm owed this, you know. I know what I did for the business. And what I mean by that is, when you look at today's women's wrestling, this was me 30 years ago. So this is my style, basically, and what they're doing. Our heavy hitters are great wrestlers. And that I fought for so hard that I was doing back then with the, you know, Bull Nakanos, Aja Kongs, and whatnot. And you look at that and you bring this here, that's what's happening today. So my work is done. You know what I mean? And finally, it's, you know, it's come to fruition, and it's good to see.
Well, are you watching more wrestling now?
Mm-hmm.
Since you're more involved again?
Mm-hmm.
Are you watching other programming? Are you?
I watch it all, especially okay. Independents too. Yeah. Independents are just sick. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So you're taking notes of people mm-hmm. who maybe you think have talent and stuff like that. So what is your opinion of the current state of professional wrestling? Not just the women, but just the whole thing.
Well, again, wrestling has its pinnacle points, like every 10, 15 years. And it goes like this. And we've been hitting that pinnacle here for a little bit, like most, like during, this is, you know, the Hulk Hogan era. Remember that big?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It rode its way for a while. That's kind of like where we're at, where we've been. And, you know, it's kind of like AEW was WCW. And then you had, you know, the other one, which was ECW, which is, what's the other one?
Impact.
Yeah. Okay. And then, you know, so you have your, all of your, you know, federations, but I think today with all of the technology and everything else out there than where it was before, it becomes more ready, available, more saturated, and you can pick and choose at any time. So it becomes more flavorful, I would say, where the others were just kind of just there and pushed in your face and you were forced to like that or not. So it's really good to see different federations happening at this pinnacle point, you know, at once instead of just one federation. As far as I'm concerned, WWE will always be the muscle of the industry. And it is a machine that'll never be touched. It won't. Never. I should. Okay. Never is a big word. It's the mother of all federations, and it is amazing. Just the muscle it has behind it. And I'm glad to see that there is other federations, you know, because everyone needs a place to work.
Right.
And they're different styles. You know what I mean? Impact has its style. WWE has its style. AEW has its style. And I'm a producer on NWA. I work with Billy Corgan. And what an amazing guy, by the way. And he, you know, he has a different vision. And it is totally old school territory type of thing. And just real good wrestling. I know he's fighting for and working towards good things with NWA. So hopefully we'll see some good changes.
I thoroughly enjoy that programming. So I'm a fan of the NWA.
Oh, thanks. All right. I'll tell him that. Yes.
Yeah. Well,
I will see him soon.
He should know. I mean, he should know. We've been trying to get him here.
This close to having him on the podcast. Billy, I know you watch. Don't make me say Toad the Wet Sprockets is my favorite 90s band now. I will do it. All right.
Dude, the fact that you even would remember that band is all the more reason we should probably end this interview out of just embarrassment.
Let me get another question.
Hey, Medusa, stay out of this for a second. Okay. I got beef with it. No, I'm just kidding.
God. Okay.
I'll drop you in the trash can.
Okay.
Anyways,
again. But, you know, you beat a producer. Our old co-host, PD Williams, went from wrestler to producer, and he succeeded. And where there's a PD Williams, there's 5 or 10 other guys that try to make the transition and just can't do it. Mm-hmm. Being a producer, definitely different than being a wrestler. So who taught you how to successfully become a producer?
Well, there's no school to be a producer. And it's just like the business. Either you have the charisma or you don't. You cannot buy it. You cannot teach it. You cannot loan it. Charisma is charisma, and it is a gift. And some people have it and they don't know it. So that's where the training comes in, to bring that charisma out and recognize with that person. So even being a producer is knowing how to communicate with our kids and, you know, our students and or our business or colleagues that we work with, right? And it's understanding the business. It's got to give them room to make mistakes and then there to communicate that mistake. I believe that I feel that when I'm working with kids and on their matches and stuff like that, is I want to hear what they're doing, what their idea is. I come to them and say, hey, you've got 10 minutes, you're going over, what's your finish? And then I listen, I said, all I want to know is kind of what your start is, your high spot in the center and your finish. Anything in between, that's make magic, You know what I mean? That way, when they tell me kind of like what their finish is, I have it down. So when, you know, of course, when this match is making sense or not making sense and it doesn't go accordingly, that's, we're sitting down and talking and finding out why not, you know, or what could we have done better? Or, you know, why did you do this move? Or why do you think this timing was off here? And, you know, a lot of it is the same, you know, they get excited or they forget they got kicked in the head and I didn't know where I was or, you know, but it, a lot of it is just learning and timing. And it is that psychology. Psychology is very hard, very hard. And it's just knowing when to grab it and to use it and to work it and to let it go, you know? So I'm just getting into it. But.
Well, for my last question, how come it took you so long to write a book?
I tried to produce this or produce it. I tried to publish it 3 or 4 times, believe it or not. Whoa. And each time, Lars and Dennis, I'm sure you've been this place in your life where you go to do something and you just, intuition has been my moneymaker as a woman in this business. And my intuition told me like, okay, there's something happening here and there's a transition, you know, okay, I need to further. And then it was like the second time or whatever, I was getting ready to publish it. And then I got that call to do Monster Trucks. I'm like, oh, hell no, I can't publish this yet. Monster Trucks, right. You know? And it's like, you know, then finally one thing after another and all these great things. And I said, after I got inducted into the Hall of Fame, I said, it's probably time I need to sit down and figure this out.
Well, I'm going to say, wrapping this up, as a guy who grew up in Atlanta, Georgia, watching WCW, you will always be Medusa to me. I will not ever recognize the Blaze name. I'm sorry, guys.
It's so funny. A lot of people say that.
Yeah. I
mean, for me, that's what you are. You're Medusa to me. And the fact that you and wrestling have come back together, it makes me so much happy because you are one of those people that... I don't ever say the word deserves because, you know, you get what you work for, but
amen.
It's far too long since the doors have opened for you to come back. And are you done in the ring? I got to ask this one last thing.
Of course you do.
Are you done? Are we going to see you in the ring again?
Well, here's.
That's my dirt sheet question, by the way.
So we always see. In the Attitude Era, who do we always see coming back? It's always Lita and Trish. I'm right. I'm pretty burnt out over them. I love them dearly. They're colleagues of mine, and I think they're great. But I even tell them, I said, girls, this ain't at you. I'm just like, there was women before you that should have a retirement match. And I'm right here. So that's all I'll say.
Dirt Sheets, pick that up, and let's get that out right now.
Yeah. They always talk a hot game, but you know, I don't know.
Well, you'll always be Medusa to me too. So,
Well, thank you guys. I appreciate it. I do. And thank you so much for having me. And it's always good to, you know, voice, you know, and open up and, hold on a second.
Well, while you do that, I'm going to say, make sure you go out and get her book, Woman Who Would Be King, pre-sale out now, as we said, on Amazon. You can go to ecwpress.com. Make sure you order it. I think fall is when it comes out, if I'm not
No,
mistaken.
March of 2023. March. Yes, okay. And it is out on Amazon right now. And Paul Heyman wrote the foreword.
That should be good. I'm going to actually pre-order that right now.
Oh, thank you.
Well, yeah. No, I mean, because I, you know, if you can't see, but I have a lot of wrestling books. I have.
You do? You're a reader. I love to read, dude. Oh my God. Those are all wrestling books?
Yes. I mean, I've been a fan since I was 10 years old, you know, and
really
fortunately growing up in the Bay Area, we got AWA, we got WWF, when TBS, we had NWA, we had Polynesian Pacific because, you know, on the UHF, we had Portland, we had UWF, we had GLOW, we had, you know, on Saturdays yeah, I mean, on Saturdays, you know, you had 11 hours filled with, you know, you had the Mid-South stuff, whatever, the UWF at the time or whatever it was, but Bill Watts's territory. So, and I'm a super fan. I mean, that's if there's anything I love more than punk rock, it's pro wrestling. So,
how'd you get into music? Why?
Because
why? Listen to me.
Yeah. Why?
Why?
Because I was a poor kid, and that's probably the only way I was going to get out of my project housing. You know what I mean? I probably, honestly, the trajectory that I would say, I mean, the first time I got locked up, I was like 11 years old. Mm-hmm. And I feel like when I found music and punk rock and stuff like that, it gave me an outlet. So I was able to kind of grab onto that and then became a touring musician when I was about 19. I'm 51 now. So, right. But I still got this passion for what we're all talking about. So
that is so cool. God, and congrats and God bless on you on your new baby. Oh my God, your life is about to change.
Again.
You have two boys. Holy crap.
I'm going for a basketball team. So I had to find a find a future wife that's 10 years younger than me. So
oh damn. I see. I like my men younger too. My husband.
See.
I had my uterus removed, Lars, so I'm out.
Oh shit. Okay.
All right. Time to end the podcast.
Medusa, where can people find you online?
Medusa on everything.
Go follow
Medusa,
her.
M-A-D-U-S-A.
Amazing. And we are so thankful to have you on, Medusa. Thank you so much for coming on The Wrestling Perspective with us.
You guys are great. And when I'm in San Francisco, I'm looking you up. I feel like the Brady Bunch. And here's a story.
About a man named Brady.
All right. We're ending it now. Okay. For everybody at home, the show's over. We're saying goodbye. Our goodbyes off the air. We'll see you later.
See ya. Bye.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise. Having fun in the sun or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.